بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى أهله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد إن شاء الله this is the final selection of the Qasida Burda that we've been covering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to get to this point, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate the remaining sections. So in poem number 155 is where we begin. It says, يَا نَفْسُ لَا تَقْنَطِي مِنْ زَلَّةٍ عَظُمَتْ إِنَّ الْكَبَائِرَ فِي الْغُفْرَانِ كَاللَّمَمِ يَا نَفْسُ لَا تَقْنَطِي مِنْ زَلَّةٍ عَظُمَتْ إِنَّ الْكَبَائِرَ فِي الْغُفْرَانِ كَاللَّمَمِ لَعَلَّ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّي حِينَ يَقْسِمُهَا تَأْتِي عَلَى حَسَبِ الْعِصْيَانِ فِي الْقَسَمِ. So these are the final poems in which he's pleading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's trying to console himself. He's trying to hold on to as many straws as he can clutch. Because this is the way the abd, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should be with Allah. This is the way any servant should be with his master. A servant is someone who is in that state of absolute need and helplessness. Absolute ihtiyaj and iftiqar. Absolute need. And the more we act like that, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give, because He likes it when somebody acts the way they should be. We cannot act in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should not act any more than who we are. Because it can't be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be deceived. We're His servants and that's it. So the more we act as who we are, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it, because He's saying, okay, well, these people have recognized their worth and this is who they are. So that's why this is what you'll see here. You'll just see that he's trying to use as many excuses as possible. And this is the way of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they try to find a way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using as many excuses as possible. So if this doesn't work, then this works. And if this doesn't work, then that works. This is what you really call diversifying your portfolio. Because this is where it's really needed. In the world, you could have 5 different portfolios and they could all go wrong. They could just be a mass collapse. And you could still end up with nothing. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sees that somebody is really trying, and he's trying with this excuse and that excuse, yes, he's got issues, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept, because He looks at the intent. He looks at the motivation. So He says, Ya nafsu, now He's consoling Himself. Ya nafsu, O soul, O my nafs, La taqnati. Qunut means to give up, to despair, to feel despondent and helpless about a situation. It says, do not despair. Min zallatin azumat. Because of any fault of yours which has become great. Any fault which is seen to be big, which is seen to be magnanimous, which is seen to be critical and dangerous. Because, innal kaba'ira fil ghufrani kallamami. The greatest sins, they resemble little ones in terms of the forgiveness of Allah. The sin that a person has committed already can be the greatest of sins. But they can be forgiven, because Allah's forgiveness is greater than any sin in this world. So that's how he's telling himself. Then he says, it may be, لَعَلَّ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّي حِينَ يَقْسِمُهَا تَأْتِي عَلَى حَسَبِ الْعِسْيَانِ فِي الْقَسَمِ. It's beautiful. What he's saying here, and the muttaqeen will have an issue with this, in a sense, I'll explain. He says, it may be that when my Lord distributes His mercy, that it will come in proportion equal to our sins. So the person who has less sins will get less of it, because he doesn't need as much. And the person who has more sins will get more of it. He's saying, maybe that will be the case. You understand? Maybe that will be the case. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned in the hadith, He has withheld 99 portions of the mercy that He has. And only with one portion of that mercy does even an animal, just by its very nature, a wild animal, like a lion, whoever it is, has an understanding, as the hadith mentions, that it will not raise its paw at its own little one. It will not harm its little one. That's the shafaqa and the rahmah that Allah has placed, that discrimination. It comes from the rahmah, that 1% of rahmah which is distributed in all of creation. So the 99% that is there, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will release on the day of judgment, And he's saying, maybe when my Lord distributes his mercy, it will come in proportion equal to our sins. So the more sinful, the more mercy will come because he needs it more. It's a person who gives a lot of thought to the afterlife that can think this way. Not a person whose end of the day is where he began in the morning. Gone round full circle, just chasing the dunya and not worried about the hereafter. These kind of thoughts only come after that kind of reflection. So then he says, Ya Rabbi, waj'al raja'i ghayra mun'akisin ladayka waj'al hisabi ghayra munkharin. Waltuf bi'abdika fid darain. Waltuf bi'abdika fid darain inna lahu sabran mata tad'uhu al ahwal yanhazimi. My Lord, let not my hope in you be overthrown. I have great hope in you. Let it not be overthrown. You go to somebody with a particular need, thinking that if nobody else has been able to help me, this individual can definitely help me because of what you heard. Because of what you've heard, what you know, the impression you have, the kind of indications you've had before. So you go with all of that hope. So let not my hope in you be overthrown. Again, he is appealing to all that Allah has promised. Allah has promised, in fact it's his name to be the Ghaffar. And Ghaffar is more than Ghafir. Ghafir means to forgive. And Ghaffar means to forgive frequently, one after the other. Often and lots, in abundance. That's Ghaffar, Ghafoor. Allah names himself with all of these names. Ghafir, Ghafir al-Dham, Ghafoor, Ghafoor al-Rahim, Ghaffar al-Dhunub. This, just so many. Rahim, Rahman, reminds us of saying it all the time. So he's advertising for it. Is there a taker? And here's a taker. So he says, let not my hope in you that I have received from all of these things, let not that be overthrown, nor let my credit with you be void of worth. The credit that I have put all my investment for you, let that be of value, let it not be reduced in its worth. Deal kindly with your slave. Again, waltuf, that lutf. He's appealing to Allah being the latif. He's appealing to the lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a knower of Allah. This, you know, you can't say these things. You can't make these things up. You know, you can't copy these things. You have to, they have to be inspired from into a heart that is ready for the ma'rifah. So waltuf bi'abdika fid darain inna lahu sabran mata tad'uhu al ahwal yanhazimi. Deal kindly with your slave in both the worlds, because when terrors call to him, this soul's patience is weak. He knows it. This soul has patience, but it's very weak when things come upon him. So he knows that when there's going to be the terror of the day of judgment, the terrifying situation and the circumstances, the dreadful circumstances, he knows he's not going to have the patience to bear it. So that's where he wants, oh Allah, that you deal with us with your lutf and your softness, your kindness, your gentleness. And then the final two is salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by which he ends the poem. Let's look through these in a bit more detail before we move on to that. So last week he says, he was calling on to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they do in poems, because he was saying, فَإِنَّ مِنْ جُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَضَرَّتَهَا وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. And where he said that because part of your generosity is the dunya and its co-wife, which is the akhirah. Focus on one wife and the other one will be harmed. That's the nature of having two wives. That's the dynamic and the challenge. So that's what he says, the dunya and the afterlife, these are like co-wives. If you focus too much on one, you harm the other one. So that's how he describes it. Then he says, and from your knowledge was the knowledge of the lawh and the qalam, which we discussed in great detail last time. So he says here, Ya nafsu la taqnati min zallatin azumat inna al-kabaira fil ghufrani kallamami. Very hopeful line, extremely filled with great hope. He obviously is talking to himself, trying to console it, trying to calm it down, trying to give himself some hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to also remember his state. The state in which he's writing this poem is one in which he's paralyzed. helpless, without money, large family, destitute state. So in that kind of a state, you don't focus on the anger of Allah. You focus on the mercy of Allah. When you think you're going to die, it says that you should start focusing more on the mercy of Allah. Generally, it's between, our iman is between the two, but there are certain circumstances when you're about to commit a sin, then you don't start focusing on the mercy of Allah, that it's okay, He'll be forgiving. That's when we start focusing on the anger of Allah and the ability He has over us. So, these are different times that we do these things. So he says, "Ya nafsi, doesn't matter how big your slips, how great your sins, how mighty your excesses become. The kaba'ir, the enormities, the major sins, they're like small. They become small in the sight and when they face the forgiveness of Allah. Because when the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, it's just encompassing of everything and it's eliminating. It is just, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, takes everything in its path and just takes everything away. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Himself, "Ya ibadiya alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah." Oh, my servants who have excessed, who have committed excesses against themselves. Oh, my servants. Unlike a mother who is tired of her child for that day, because the child has been misbehaved a lot, so then she disowns that child when the father comes back. "Your son did this." She won't say, "My son did this today, my bacha did this," you know. She'll say, "Your son was like this, and your daughter was like this." Suddenly it's not her daughter anymore, her son anymore. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shafaqah He has, this is what He says. He says, "Oh, my servants who have excessed against themselves, I completely understand you people. You know, I understand. La taqnatu min rahmatillah." Because it's worse to despair of the mercy of Allah. That's worse. You're okay with committed sins. Then to despair of His mercy is worse, because that's what shaitan wants. So Allah wants to pull us back even from that realm. This is the greatness of the Lord. If only people would understand the forgiveness of the Lord, they wouldn't be misguided by the shaitan. Then they would begin to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. And that love is important, because it's love that's going to really make us worship Him. Not the fear. It's the love that pushes us more. Fear helps, but it's love that really makes us do it better. So he says, "La taqnatu min rahmatillah," and do not become despondent of Allah's mercy, because "Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a," Allah forgives all sins. Forgives all sins. And that's why a poet says, "Ya Rabbi, in azumat dhunubi kathra, falaqad alimtu bi anna afwaka a'zamu." He says, "Oh my Lord, if I know that my sins are mighty in terms of their abundance, if they're abundant in number and they're big in their nature, but then I also know that your pardon is greater." And then he says, "فَلَمَّا قَسَى قَلْبِي," this is another poem, "فَلَمَّا قَسَى قَلْبِي وَدَاقَتْ مَذَاهِبِي جَعَلْتُ الرَّجَى مِنْكَ لِعَفْوِكَ سِلْمًا تُعَاظِمُنِي ذَنْبِي فَلَمَّا قَرَنْتُهُ بِعَفْوِكَ رَبِّي كَانَ عَفْوُكَ أَعْظَمًا." He says, "When my heart became hard, when my path became tight, restricted, I didn't know where to go. جَعَلْتُ الرَّجَى مِنْكَ لِعَفْوِكَ, then that is when I made my hope. That's when I directed my hope to your forgiveness as a source of consolation and peace. And when my sins are great and mighty, but when I link them to your pardon, when I compare them to your pardon, oh my Lord, then I see that your pardon, your forgiveness is greater." And that's why Ibn Ata'illah says in his Hikam, "La saghirata idha qabalaka adluhu, la saghirata idha qabalaka adluhu, wa la kabirata idha wajahaka fadluhu." There is no minor sin if it's compared to Allah's justice. Because if He has to just punish us for even a minor sin, we don't stand any chance.
There's no argument. Like, we've done the sin. But at the same time, he says, there's no major sin either when it compares to the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yahya ibn Mu'adh, rahimahullah, used to say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats people with His grace, then they will have no sins left. Because He's willing to forgive. But if He deals with them with His justice and He starts to really take account, then they wouldn't have any good deeds left because they won't stand up to the scrutiny of being perfect, of being acceptable, too defective. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make our bad deeds, the bad deeds of the people that He loves, He treat them the way He will treat the people who He loves who've committed some bad deeds. So we may have more, they may have less, but we want that same treatment. And O Allah, don't make our good deeds, don't treat our good deeds like the few good deeds that are done by people Allah doesn't like. Because everybody does something good or bad. Then he says, لَعَلَّ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّي حِينَ يَقْسِمُهَا تَأْتِي عَلَى حَسَبِ الْعِسْيَانِ فِي الْقَسَمِ, which is that maybe the mercy of my Lord, when He distributes it, will be apportioned according to the sin of the person. So in that one, he's saying that he's consoling himself. It's just a personal reflection. He's not giving a fatwa here. He's not saying that this is what's going to happen. It's just a self-consolation. It's a private affair. It's him. It's doing. You can't deny somebody that right. This is what he wants to do. So he's saying that this 100 portions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that He will shower on His creation, His servants on the Day of Judgment, he's hoping that it's according to how much people need. Not equal, but how much people need. So whoever's more sinful, they'll get more of that mercy. In a hadith it mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the 100 mercy and so on, which you know about. There's another hadith which mentions, part of that hadith mentions that I think this really underscores the level of this mercy. Because the hadith mentions that if a disbeliever realizes the mercy that Allah has still, that He's going to give on the Day of Judgment, he would not become despondent of maybe getting entry into Jannah. Like, if he saw that mercy coming down, he would think, maybe I'll even get into Jannah. Because it just seems like so easy to get and so much there. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the believer can see what kind of punishment Allah has, like if it was just shown to him, then he will never feel safe from the hellfire. So he's taken all of these ahadith in mind and then he's making this poem. He's saying these words. So obviously, he is making out his sins to be big. That's why he's saying this. He is making himself out to be a big sinful individual by saying that I am very sinful, I'm hoping to get a lot. And of course this is, the more pious you get, the bigger you consider your sins. Because then you start seeing the worth of Allah and what we should be doing. So even the smallest things seem like too big. When we've done enough, we just think, I've done so many anyway, what's the big deal? So that's how he's speaking. Ya Rabbi, waj'al raja'i ghayra mun'akisin, ladayka waj'al hisabi ghayra munkharimi, which means, oh my Lord, make my hope in you ghayra mun'akisin, not be opposed, not be reflected away. Basically the word is, don't let it be dashed. Don't let my hopes be dashed, overthrown. Ladayka, by you, waj'al hisabi, and make my accounting, my reckoning, غَيْرَ مُنْخَرِمِ. Do not make it worthless. مُنْقَطِ. Nothing there to show at the end of it. What did you do with all of that money I gave you? A father gives his sons, he distributes 100,000 to each of them, go do some business, set yourself up. One of them comes back, he's got nothing to show. What did you do? مُنْخَرِمِ. It's finished. Nothing to show. That's what it means. So he says here that do not make my hope, do not dash my hopes and deprive me of what hope I have. The great desires that I have, don't let that go in vain. How can that be? How can you let it go in vain, he's saying, when you have said to Allah, when he's saying to Allah, Allah has said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي, I am with my servant as he thinks of me. So now, this is what he is clutching on to. So, it is beyond you, O Allah. It's beyond you. You are above not giving me my hope, not giving me my desire, because you're too noble, you're too clement, you're too forbearing, and you're too gracious. Your fadl, your grace is universal. That somebody who has so much hope in you, you would dash their hopes. Or that you would turn the face away of somebody who comes to ask, a beggar. And then he says, make my hisab not worthless. By, do not make me of those who are humiliated on the day. Do not make me degraded. Do not make me one who has to put his head down and just walk away because I didn't get anything, despite the fact that I was hoping for so much. That also includes dealing with other people. Because I've got a lot of things maybe owed to others. Maybe I've committed excesses against others that I don't realize. You have the ability, O Allah, to make them satisfied on my behalf by giving them extra bounties, so that they leave me alone on that day. They leave my case. Oh Allah, you have more than I can give them. There's a hadith, the famous hadith, which I'm sure majority of us have read. The person who comes on the day of judgment with lots of deeds, but then he's done lots of ibadat, but then he hasn't been very good in his social etiquette. So then suddenly those things start to diminish. So the mountain of good deeds he has suddenly becomes replaced with a mountain of bad deeds that he had to take from others in lieu for the crimes that he committed against others. That is the muflis. That is the true muflis and destitute on the day of judgment. So that is, he seems to be invoking that narration, speaking about that. So don't make of my actions such deeds that will just cut into and eliminate and erase my deeds that I have. La ilaha illallah. What Ibn Ajiba mentions, Ibn Ajiba was a North African scholar of great repute and spirituality who's done the commentary of this. He says that anybody who reckons that he has a lot of outstanding debts to people, when you say debts here, of course if you owe someone you can give them, and you don't give them, you make this dua, it's not going to work for you. Right? What it means is simply is, where you feel you have committed excesses, it's very difficult to go. And sometimes you made ghibah of somebody, sometimes you've said something bad about somebody. To go and tell them, brother, I've said something bad about you, just makes it worse sometimes. Because then they'll say, what did you say about me? Some people are nice, they'll say, oh, don't worry about it. But some people is going to get them thinking, what did you say about me? Oh, maybe he said this to... They're going to start wild, because shaitan uses that moment to do these things. So sometimes it's better just to make dua for them in such things. If it's something that has to be repaid, it has to be repaid. But if it's something that is not material, sometimes it's less fitna to just make dua and to seek that. So anyway, he says that, مَنْ كَثُرَ عَلَيْهِ حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ, anybody who reckons that he has a lot of rights that are due to others, فَلْيُكْفِرْ مِنْ هَذَا الدُّعَاءِ, he should do this dua abundantly. It says that this dua was inspired to somebody who was in that state. And the dua is, Allahumma inni astaghfiruk wa atubu ilayka min madhalima kathira li'ibadika indi. Which means, oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness and I return to, I do tawbah to you, I turn to you from all of those madhalim, those complaints, those rights. Madhalim are complaints, rights belonging due to others, that are abundant due to your servants that I have in my account, that are due upon me. Allahumma inni astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka min madhalima kathira li'ibadika indi. Fa'ayyuma, and then the rest of it is from the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa'ayyuma abdin min ibadika kanat indi madhlimatahu
ظلمته إياها في بدنه أو ماله أو عرضه لا أستطيع ذلك إليه ولا أتحللها ولا أتحللها منه فارضه عني بما شئت وكيف شئت وأنا شئت وهبها لي يا رب.
Which means, and this is the dua the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made as well, which this is taken from that it seems. This is that any servant of your servants who is due something from me, who is due a right from me, I have either oppressed him in his body, in his wealth, or in his honor. So that's quite encompassing. And I have no ability to return that to him. There's something preventing, you can't see him, you know, it's a fitna to try to solve it, or whatever the case is. وَلَا أَتَحَلَّلْهَا مِنْهُ And I can't expiate myself from it. I can't become halal from it. I can't get out of it, for whatever reason. Then satisfy him on my behalf with whatever you want. However you want. And wherever you want. And oh Allah, give me, give it to me, meaning give me this that I ask. Or give me the reward of this that I ask, O my Lord. وَمَا تَصْنَعُ بِعَذَابِي Then he carries on. وَمَا تَصْنَعُ بِعَذَابِي وَقَدْ وَسِعَتْ رَحْمَتُكَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ What are you going to get out of punishing me when your mercy is going to cover everything? وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَن تُكْرِمَنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ وَلَا تُهِنِّي بِعَذَابِكَ And what will you lose if you just honor me with your mercy and you do not degrade me and disgrace me with your punishment. وَلَا يَنْقُسُكَ يَا رَبْ وَلَا يَنْقُسُكَ يَا رَبْ أَنْ تَفْعَلَ بِي مَا سَأَلْتُ وَأَنْتَ وَاجِدُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Nothing, O my Lord, O my Lord, nothing is going to diminish you. Nothing is going to decrease from you. You're not going to decrease in any way. You're not going to lose anything. If you do for me what I ask, if you give me my wish when you have everything at your disposal, when you have possession over all things. So that's a dua. If you can't remember the Arabic words, say it in your language. Say it in whatever language you want to say it. Talk to Allah. A person should have in his day a moment with Allah when it's totally private. Totally alone. We don't have that. That's why we don't get those moments. What I mean is, whether that be tahajjud, whether that be after fajr, just some time when you're not praying salat in the masjid. It's difficult to be so intimate in the masjid. Just time when you do a few rak'ats and then you just speak to Allah. That's the real time when the heart becomes alive. That's the time to make these kind of du'as. You've seen the order of these du'as, the style of these du'as, the way people speak to Allah. Essentially, just debase yourself. Just make yourself helpless. Believe you're helpless. Believe we're in need. It's this belief that I'm nothing, I can't do much. I just need all the mercy that I can get. And just magnify Allah. That is essentially what Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. That's essentially what it is. So then, he says, وَلْتُفْ بِعَبْدِكَ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ إِنَّ لَهُ صَبْرًا مَتَى تَدْعُهُ الْأَهْوَالُ يَنْهَزِمِ And deal kindly and gently with your slave in both the worlds. For when terrors call to him, تَدْعُهُ When they invite him, when they call on to him, which means when they come upon him, threaten him, he sees them coming, confronts him, then يَنْهَزِمِ His patience just becomes weak, he can't deal with it. He's frightened. So that's what he's saying here, that he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat him with gentleness in this world by treating him with ihsan, by treating him with gentleness and protecting him from afat, protecting him from calamities. We want that as well. Protect oneself from calamities, masa'ib, fitna, all of these things. And in the akhirah, a different thing. Salama. Peace, safety and well-being, security from the terrors that will descend on that day, on the servant, and there's no recourse from it. For example, we know it's going to happen to every believer, which is su'alul malakain, the questioning in the grave by the angels, the hisab, the mizan, the scales, the reckoning, the sirat, the causeway over Jahannam, the wukuf, the standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these other stages. This is the time when we will need the lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody hasn't asked for that lutf, then why would we expect Allah to give us them if we don't ask Him? He could have said, Waltuf bi, be gentle with me. But to say, oh Allah, be gentle with your servant, you're saying it's more humble to say that. It's less arrogant. Me, you know, I am me. But with your servant, I've given myself a description. I've described who I am with the description best liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's really debasing, he's calling himself a servant. He's calling himself a needy individual. Just so that will invoke some response. So then he says that my situation is such that I don't have sabr. If there's a calamity that comes upon me in the world, he was in a helpless state. I can't deal with it. When some difficulty comes upon me, I can't bear it. I don't know how to deal with it. So he's asking for that. And then if I can't do that in this world, then what about the terrors of the Day of Judgment? How am I going to deal with them? So that's what he's referring to when he says that. He's basically making himself out to be a cowardly individual who he's saying that if I have to meet the enemy, I'm going to run. That's my situation in front of you. It's bad to do that in front of the enemy. It's wrong to do that in front of the enemy. But in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what we want to do. We want to run to Him. That's why sabr is one of the greatest things. Sabr is one of the greatest things, but it's one of the most difficult things. That's why the reward of it is so great. And because of its difficulty, but its potency, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the ajr in it to be immense. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The reward of sabr is without hisab. There's no timetable for that. You know, it's without hisab. Allah just gives, just like fasting is. Because fasting is also sabr, isn't it? So everything related to sabr just has huge rewards. Because it's the insan overcoming themselves. Anybody who can master overcoming our desires, then everything else is easy. That is the most difficult thing. That's why our sheikh says, the mashayikh, they say something very simply. They say, Jannah is two steps. One on your nafs and the next one in Jannah. But that first step is very difficult. But it's only one step really, in the grand scheme of things. If we learn to take that step, we're still babies. We're still infants in that regard. If we learn to take that step onto our nafs, may Allah help us. The next one, and finally, so then he finishes this off with what he started to do, which is to send blessings on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he knows that the benefit of salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is all praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the entire point. So he says, what then li suhbi salatin minka da'imatan 'ala an-nabiy bi munhallin wa munsajimi. The last poem, generally in poetic, in Arabic poetry, the first poem, it always begins with a nasib, which is, it begins with this romantic Romeo-Juliet theme, just to get people into it, just as he did as well. The ending is generally with some of the best poetry, that they will leave that to the end. Because it's generally the last poem after you've read it that will stay in your mind. So it's quite a complex line. He says, مَا رَنَّحَتْ عَذَبَاتِ الْبَانِ رِيحُ صَبًا وَأَطْرَبَ الْعِيسَ حَادِ الْعِيسِ بِالنَّغَمِ. It's quite a complex poem. And it requires understanding. It's not something that just comes about. It takes you. So what he's saying here is, وَأْذَنْ لِسُحْبِ صَلَاتٍ. He's talking about suhb. Suhb means the clouds. From you, minka, from you, let a cloud of constant blessing. Clouds are supposed to be raining. You know, that's what clouds are there for. So instead of saying, oh Allah, send abundant blessings, he's more created than that. Let a cloud of constant, send clouds of constant salat, blessing, from you, da'imatin, constant, perpetual, forever, ala nabi, upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bimunhallin wa munsajimi. And then the next one is, ma rannahat adabatil bani rihu saban. As long as, adabat means branches, and rannahat means inclination, the moving of branches. Alban is a particular tree, the willow branch, has a nice smell. So as the willow, have you seen a willow tree? Right. The willow tree, it's so soft that anything will shake it. Any small gust, but any small wind will also make it move. It says, as long as the branches of the willow tree continue to move and incline, by the rihu saban, with the most beautiful breeze, which is the saba, the beautiful breeze of the morning. وَأَطْرَبَ الْعِيسَ حَادِ الْعِيسِ بِالنَّظَمِ. And as long as camels are driven. How do you describe somebody who starts getting into the music? How do you describe that? You know, somebody who starts moving around with the music. What does music do to a person? What's the word for that?
Entrance.
Sorry?
Entrance.
Entrance, yeah. Get into the groove is a bit... that's a bit slang, I would say. That's not... It's entrancing a person. Just getting them itrab. It means taking them into another cloud. Taking them into another state. Right. It affects your state, essentially. That's what itrab means. Tarab. Is an ecstasy. It's a form of ecstasy. وأطرب العيس. عيس are camels. Specific kind. حادي العيس. حادي is... this is a whole science on its own, which is for them to take their camels on these long journeys, the most successful ones will be those who had these special singers, these special munshideen, the hadis, the hudi khan in Arabic, in Urdu. Right? They were the ones who would drive these horses by singing to them. And these camels, they would sing to them and they would go fast. In fact, some camels would overdo themselves. I'll give you an example. Somebody told me you should get your car chipped, diesel cars chipped, because it takes less diesel and it gives you faster acceleration. So I thought, let me check online. So I'm checking, and basically saying that if that was the case, then why wouldn't companies do that? You know, why wouldn't companies? Because every company wants their car to give you better oomph, but at the same time take less, because that would be a big selling point. So why can't they do it if a chip can do it afterwards? And what somebody described is that, yes, it can do it, but what they're doing is you are exerting the car beyond its ability in many cases. That's why companies, the manufacturers, cannot do that. Because they have to have safety all around. And what these guys, they're retuning the board to take a bit extra here or whatever. But your brakes, your axle, and all of these things cannot necessarily withstand all of that necessarily. So you may be harming your car in that. Same kind of thing here. There have been some hadis who have driven their camels and killed their camels. Because those camels have just gone blindly forward and overexerted themselves and knocked themselves out and died. That's how these things can be. It's amazing. Music is very powerful. It's known to that. You know, music can make a person cry. It can make a person weep. It can make a person happy. It can make a person jump up and down. It is that kind of an artificial inspiration, or, you know, it has that effect. And that's why once a person gets used to that effect, the Quran doesn't have the same benefit for them. Because it's not heavy enough for them. And that's why it creates nifaq in the hearts. The Prophet ﷺ said that music, creates hypocrisy in the hearts. And I've thought of that for a very long time, and this is what comes to mind, that when you get used to this, then your Quran and your dhikr doesn't do it for you, because it takes much longer then. Because the way dhikr affects you is that it affects you and it gives you the benefit of it. But not as, it doesn't give you the heavy influence that music does and then the downer after that. So you have to try harder with dhikr, then eventually when you've done enough dhikr, then you stay at the top there. He says,
وَأْذَنْ بِالصُّحْبِ صَلَاةٍ مِّنْكَ دَائِمَةٍ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ بِمُنْهَلٍ وَمُنْسَجِمِ مُنْحَلٍ and مُنْسَجِمِ مُنْحَلٍ means abundant and مُنْسَجِمِ means flowing, sair, flowing. So let the salawat come. Let it be abundant, lots of it, and let it be flowing. Essentially, that's what he's saying. So the shaykh is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he send his perpetual blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, set it up such that just as the clouds bring their water and it just comes down and it comes down and it comes down. Now, it might get very irritating if you're out in the rain when it just relentless. But that's just used as a metaphor for good things. And of course, farmers love it. And this is what keeps the earth alive. Just don't be out there. So it's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send abundant mercy on His Messenger, on His Prophet, and special blessings on him. It could also be that, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to do it. Give me the tawfiq to do it, that I can constantly send blessings on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That all my time is taken up by this, and I'm constantly engrossed in this. However, the first meaning is probably more appropriate and better. And then he says, as long as the branches of the willow trees continue to sway and move by the morning breeze, and the camel drivers rejoice their graced steeds with song. Rejoice, I would rather say entrance. That was a nice word you said. Jazakallah for that. The camel drivers rejoice, entrance their grey steeds with song. So this is a grey steed. Ees is a specific type of animal, camel. It's one that has greyness to it. A wheatish complexion. That's what it says. So this is obviously the completion of the previous poem, that when he asked the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send abundant blessings on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has to say how long for. So to keep it going, it's kind of setting it in motion. He knows willow trees will continue to sway. Camels, I don't know how many camels still remain nowadays, but we drive our cars. So as long as cars are driven. So he wants it to be perpetual on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, the morning breeze will continuously come until the day of judgment. So that one is to continue. And maybe some camels will continue as well. But he was saying it obviously according to his time. The other reason why he chose that in particular, two things. These two examples that he's chosen is for two reasons. His choice, number one, when it comes to the rain, the rain has a very subtle way of benefiting things. It gets everywhere and it causes things to grow. So it has a creative energy within it. So number one, he's using that example for that reason as well. That when you give salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do it with energy and perpetually. And number two, when he talks about the camel drivers, they obviously do this with a good voice. So sing your blessings, invoke your blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a good voice. That's why, you know, these salawat khatams that we have, and they just zoom through it just to finish the 40. It should be different than that.
there should be some feeling in it. You know, it makes people feel. So I think we're very dry when it comes to that. You know, we're doing the salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it's a bid'ah, it's already a bid'ah, then do it nicely. It's not a bid'ah, do you understand? To make it nice. What's the problem with it? Salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know the 40 durush, do it nicely. Get the best reader to do it. Let people enjoy it. It's not about completing quickly and we don't even know what's being said. So, some commentators, this is what they say, that this is what he's trying to say, is encourage that the salawat should also be done in a nice voice. And the Moroccans are known for this. They're known for some of the most beautiful nasheeds. Not nasheeds to entertain, but the serious nasheeds. They're really known for their voice and for their tunes. They have quite a unique, even their way of reading the Quran is quite unique. Sometimes a bit away from the tajweed rules, but سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. They have these different styles, and when they do it collectively, it's kind of really interesting. They even do it after namaz. Everybody just says سبحان ربي. They sit together, and then after asr and after fajr, they sit in the masjid. The old men, they sit and they start reading together the Quran in this really strange style that they have. So I guess the author is coming from that perspective. He completed this book in Tetouan, which is one of the cities in Morocco. Tetouan, it's called. Some of you may have heard that name. So now what he's saying here is going to describe the two things. About the camels. The camels, they're... at the end of the day, they have a feeling. They are animals. They have they're not rational beings, but they do have some kind of sense. They have an interaction with human beings, and they get used to certain sounds that help to drive them. So that's why you need the hadi. Right? And in fact, actually, another point comes in mind here, that the Prophet ﷺ told Anjasha, who was a camel driver. And he said to him, take it easy with the glass bottles. You don't want to break them. Many of the commentators have said that that refers to the women who are in the caravan, that you're going to seduce them with your voice, or attract them with your voice in a sense. But this could also refer to the fact that you may overburden or overstimulate the camels. So because camels will sometimes overdo themselves. And some of them, as I've said, have died in between. It's related that there was an individual who had to stay somewhere. He was travelling and he became... it was night time and he decided to stay in a village, and somebody offered to host him, as was the type of hospitality provided in those days, which still exists in many places today. When he went in there, the person called for food, and they both ate. They got some food together, and they both ate. And then after that, they sat and talked for a while. Then after that, the owner of the house, he said, look, you stay here for a while, I've got something to take care of. So I'm going to leave for a while, I need to go. You know, some pre-appointment that he had. You just stay here, and relax, I'll be back soon. So when he went, the guest remained in the house and he's relaxing there, and then suddenly he hears from one of the side rooms, he hears a sound coming through, a voice saying, O servant of Allah, Ya Abdullah, you know, whoever you are, because he must have been listening to what was going on. I want you to intercede for me. I want you to speak to my master. I want you to speak to the owner of the house. Your reward is ready for you if you do that for me. So he couldn't see who was coming. It's dark in those days, you know, there's not that much light and so on, and he doesn't want to go in, you know, into the inner portion of the house, which may be the women's section or whatever, but this was obviously a male voice. He said, who are you and what's your problem? What did you do so wrong that he's imprisoned you like this? Like, he doesn't let you get out. So he says, I'm a slave of my master. So he was a slave. And he's very angry with me. And he's put me into this room and he's locked me up. He's chained me. He's locked me up in this room. So he said, okay, fine. When the owner came back, the guest said to him, he said that, I swear to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you need to fulfill a need of mine. And you need to accept my intercession. He felt for the person. Right. About this servant, slave of yours, who you're very angry about, let him go. So the owner, you know, what you have to understand is that these people are ready to sacrifice a camel for you. Because that was hospitality. So if a guest is going to ask you for something, you're going to generally try to do the best that you can to fulfill it. So it's just this ajib honor and respect that they had for their guests. So he said, Ya Sayyidi, my master, his crime is big. It's a big crime he's committed. And even your intercession is not enough to deal with that crime, as great as your position is. So he said, what is his crime? What is his problem? He said, he's killed nearly 20 of my camels. He has killed nearly 20 of my camels, despite the fact that I've told him, I've prohibited him from doing that. Time and time again he does it. He's thinking, how is he going around killing his camels? So that must be a big thing for you to go and kill your owner's camels. Camels are worth several thousand pounds today. And you kill 20 of those. It's not a joke. He wrecked my car. You know, he's wrecked my Mercedes. He's wrecked 20 of my Mercedes. I buy a car and he wrecks them. I've told him not to. How did he kill them? What does he do to kill them? He says he's got a beautiful voice. And his tune is just amazing. طَيِّبُ النَّغْمَ. So he drives the camels. And they have, you know, all the merchandise they have laden on it. And by the time it gets to the next marhala, you know, the next stop, they've gone. It's finished. He's overdriven them. He's over-exercised them. They die. Some of them die straight away. Some of them become too weak to carry on. What? Because they've over-exerted themselves. He says, I found this to be quite amazing, quite strange, very astonishing. I was really taken aback. So I said, what must this sound be like? What kind of voice does he have? You know? What kind of a munshid is he? He says, let me listen to him. Let me listen to him. So he freed him. He got him out. And he also accepted my intercession. He freed him after all of this. But then he told him to say something. He told him to read something. So he started reading. Obviously my voice is nothing compared to what he's probably talking about. But he says, وَكُنْتُ إِذَا مَا زُرْتُ سُعْدَى بِأَرْضِهَا. This was one of the poems that he used to drive the camels with. I don't know what it's got to do with the camels. What they understand from this. It's just a love poem. وَكُنْتُ إِذَا مَا زُرْتُ سُعْدَى بِأَرْضِهَا أَرَى الْأَرْضَ تُطْوَى لِي وَيَدْنُو بَعِيدُهَا قَالَ فَسَمِعْتُ شَيْئًا No, من الخيرات البيض ود جليسها إذا ما قضت أحدوثة أن تعيدها. What he's saying here essentially is that you know, whenever you're speaking in Arabic poetry, whenever you're speaking about your beloved, you will refer to them as Layla or Su'da. That's just the name you use. Layla and Su'da are the Juliets of the Arab literature. Right? So that's what he's saying. Every time I've gone to visit Su'da in her place, then I have seen that the distance, the land, the distance has been shrunk and rolled up for me. And its distance has been made close. So it doesn't take long at all for me to get there, obviously. Right? It doesn't take me long to get there at all. You know, and then he talks about the horses. That those people, the animals, those who are standing on it, who are sitting on it, and so on and so forth. So this, he was saying it in such a beautiful way, in such a tune that it was striking the right chords with these camels, and they were just overburdening themselves. So the guest, he says that I just heard something. ما سمعت أذناي قط أحسن صوتا. وَلَا أَطْيَبُ نَظَمَةً وَلَا أَعْظَمَ تَأْثِيرًا مِنْهُ فِي النُّفُوسِ. Never heard anything like this. Never heard something with a greater voice, better tune, and more effective in the hearts than what I just heard right now. What must that have been? So he finishes these poem. He completes this poem with this salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the hope of its acceptance, and everything else in here will all be accepted if the salawat is accepted. And salawat is always accepted. That means everything should be accepted. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that, relates that إذا أراد أحدكم أن يسأل شيئا فليبدأ بحمد الله والثناء عليه بما هو أهل ثم يصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم يسأل الله حاجته فإنه أجدر أن ينجح. Says that whenever somebody of you wants to ask Allah for something, then he should start with Allah's praise. Praise Allah first. Praise Allah according to what he is entitled. Bima huwa ahl. According to what he is entitled. Then send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then ask for. Don't just, oh Allah, give me this, give me that. Start with Allah's praise, then salawat. Build it up. Get an access, and then ask Allah for your hajah, and you're more likely to be successful. And that's what Ibn Atta, he says, لِلْدُعَاءِ أَرْكَانٍ وَأَسْبَابٍ وَأَجْنِحَةٍ وَمَوَاقِيتٍ. A very interesting point. If you want your du'as to be accepted, there are many factors of the du'a that have to be taken into consideration, because the du'a has pillars, essential elements, right? Essential elements. It has a cause, it has wings, and it has a particular time. If all of these things come together, it will be accepted and successful. It will be strengthened, basically. It will be strengthened. The acceptance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it will be strengthened. So, if the arkan and its pillars, its essential elements are fulfilled, it will be strong. If the wings are fine, it will fly. It will go to Allah. It will go to the court. And if it has the right sabab, the right cause behind it, the right emotion behind it, then it will be successful. What is its arkan? Its essential elements are presence of the heart, a softness of the heart, a trembling nature, a needy nature, a needy feeling in the heart. Istikana, which means to put yourself into that state of need. And the heart being attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not having any reliance on anything but Allah. So it's full attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Its wings are truthfulness. You have the truthfulness, then it will allow it to fly. And its best time is the last portions of the night. The tahajjud time, ashar. And the sabab, the cause that will really give you, it will help your cause essentially, is salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why there's a saying, or maybe a hadith, الدعاء بين الصلاتين علي لا يرد. Dua between two blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not be rejected. In fact, it's related from Jabir, مرفوعا. لا تجعلوني كقدح الراكب لأن الراكب يملأ قدحه ثم يضعه ويرفع متاعه فإن احتاج إلى شراب شربه أو إلى وضوء توضع منه وإلا أهركه. He says, والله عالم about the status of this narration, but it says, do not make me like the vessel, the bowl of a traveler, a person who is mounted traveling, because he will fill up his bowl, his vessel, his bottle, as we have. He'll put it to the side. He'll take his stuff. When he needs to drink, he'll drink from it. When he needs to do wudu, he'll do wudu from it. And when he ends up, because it's stale water, he'll throw it away. But put me at the beginning, put me in the middle, and put me at the end. So I should be relevant. Salawat should be done beginning, in the middle you add, And you also add at the end. And the famous hadith in Muslim, that when you hear the adhan, after adhan is finished, and most people they read the dua, they don't read salawat and salawat. It's in the hadith of Muslim that before the dua you do salawat. So when the adhan is heard, you first say salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, whatever. Then you say Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati ta'amma. This is what's in the hadith in Muslim. But for some reason the tradition is not to do that in many people. So it's something we should be enlivening. And the benefit of the salat and salam is such that the ulama have written, Ibn Shafi' says that the Prophet ﷺ is on such a high status and his love, Allah's love for him is so great that if you send one blessing on him, one blessing, if Allah sends you one blessing, it is enough to wipe out all of your previous misdeeds. If a person has done nothing but bad deeds, and then Allah is to give him just one blessing, that is enough to wipe all of that out. So when we're promised 10 blessings on every blessing we ask the Prophet ﷺ, then we just suddenly start seeing the value of it. But the value of it will be when we start thinking that way. That I'm sending one blessing, those 10 blessings are great. He says, لَكَفَاكَ أُمُورُ دُنْيَاكَ وَآخِرَتَكَ. One blessing of Allah upon you is enough to deal with all your affairs of this world and of your hereafter. So can you imagine what 10 would do for you? So, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi kama barakta ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad khatam al-nabiyyin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi ajma'in. Wa akhiru da'wana anna alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We pray for the poet, the writer, pray for the commentators, we pray for those who facilitated this, who transferred this to us, who valued this, and who it's inspired. That may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a source of our intercession on the Day of Judgment in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Jannatul Firdaus as well. We don't have much to show. And we've learnt from one of the lessons we've learnt from here that if this poet could have become well after this deadly paralysis overtook him because of such a beautiful poem, then we can hope for something, inshallah, in the hereafter. We can hope, but we have to link those hopes together. That's what's most important. We have to personalize those hopes. Just because it's available to somebody doesn't mean it's available to us just like that. It is, but we have to personalize it. We have to make it ours. We have to adopt it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of these weeks that we've sat here together. And we've covered this. May Allah accept it. May Allah forgive our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a source of salvation for us and closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a source of enlightenment for people who read this, who understand this, who to spread the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam around the world, which is one of the biggest responsibilities we have today, because this is where the Islamophobia is coming from, because of the ignorance that people have of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just going to read a few more poems before we make our du'a. Attar says, the trusted of prophets, the proof of the way, the king with no seal, no crown for his sway. This is who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't need a seal. He had a seal, but he didn't need a seal for his sway. He only needed it for others, not for his own. Another poet says, by your standard may we pray, when sky and earth are folded, rivers and seas are voided, mankind is resurrected on the latter day. By your standard may we pray. It'll be with his flag on the Day of Judgment. So by your standard may we pray, when sky and earth are folded, rivers and seas are voided, mankind is resurrected on the latter day. Sulaiman Shalabi says, hail to thee, O mercy of the worlds to all. Hail to thee, O pleader of the folk who fall. the Shafi al-Mudnibin on the Day of Judgment. The truth has said, Allah has said, His mercy's sea is vast. By God I said, all other hope is past. Upon my head I feel a sunbeam cast. Haji Muhammad Lutfi. Afifa Imatullah, she says, O Allah, Ya Ra'uf, only You can rescue me from this habit of despair. Have pity, wash me from within. Abdullah Harun Shamisi says, We have Mustafa, 1,000 lights and more, more than enough, and more. Another one, save us from the sorrows of our worldly lives, the harshness of death, and the fire ablaze. Save us from the sorrows of our worldly lives, the harshness of death, and the fire ablaze. Abdullah ibn Ja'far. Sulaiman Shalabi says, So thou seekest from the fire to win thee free. Say with love and fear, Be blessing unto thee. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min adh-dhalimin Allahumma salli wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim jazallahu anna Muhammadan ma huwa ahluh Oh Allah, accept our du'as. Oh Allah, accept our gathering here. Oh Allah, we ask that you inspire us. You inspire us with the love of you and your messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, there is nothing that is going to give us salvation except our connection with you and your messenger. Oh Allah, day by day, every day, we're going behind things which are maybe of no benefit. Oh Allah, we ask that you purify our intentions, our pursuits, our objectives, our dreams, our goals in our life. And oh Allah, we ask that you make every day that we pass a useful one, a beneficial one, a fruitful one, something that has its bearings and benefits in the hereafter too. Oh Allah, we ask that you do not make our actions of this world in vain, that we end up in the hereafter and we find that whatever we have done, nothing is there for us to benefit from. Oh Allah, we ask that you make whatever we do to be useful and beneficial, both for us and for all of humanity. Oh Allah, make us like that cool breeze of the morning. Oh Allah, that riha sabah, that we inspire others, we act with gentleness with others. Oh Allah, bring back humanity in the hearts of the human beings, in their personalities. Oh Allah, make us of the true followers of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, embodiments of his character. Oh Allah, we've read so much. We've learned so much about our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't make us of the ignorant ones. Don't make us of those who are deprived of your mercy, deprived of the prophetic paradigm. Oh Allah, we ask that you inspire us. You inspire us with what pleases you, that you make our hearts the way you want them to be. And you grant us your love and the love of those who love you. You always grant us good company. You keep us away from the evil and the bad, and you protect us and our children, the progeny to come until the Day of Judgment with all the evils that are out there. Oh Allah, we ask that you shower us with your mercy. You shower us with your mercy, and you grant us ease in all the stages of the hereafter. You grant us the kalima la ilaha illallah on our deathbed. And you do not turn the face of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam away from us when we go to his hawd, when we go to his watering place. Oh Allah, we ask you for that you grant us his intercession on the Day of Judgment. Oh Allah, we ask that you make us of those who are closest to him, that you give us the tawfiq to do those things that will help us to be close to your messenger. Oh Allah, we ask that you grant us Jannatul Firdaus, that you grant us Jannatul Firdaus, that you grant us Jannatul Firdaus, and that you make this reading of this burda, this explanation of this burda, as it has benefited many people in the past, and as it has brought great barakat and blessings to many people, including the author of the past, that you also grant us that blessing. You grant us the vision of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You grant us vision of your messenger. You grant us closeness to him, extra love for him. Oh Allah, true love for him, true love for him, and emulation for him. Oh Allah, we ask that you bless us in the way you've blessed your pious ones. Oh Allah, it's not our position. Oh Allah, we are your mere servants, sinful servants. We're confessing of our misdeeds, we're confessing of our weaknesses. Oh Allah, but we ask that you grant us the best of that which you've given your pious servants. Oh Allah, we ask that you give us the best of what you have showered upon your pious servants. And that mercy, oh Allah, we're in need of your mercy. We're in need of your mercy. We're in need of your gentleness. We're in need of your compassion. Oh Allah, there's nowhere else we can gain that compassion from. But we're so deprived that we hardly ask you. Oh Allah, we ask that you give us what the author has asked you for, and what all the pious individuals have received. Oh Allah, we ask that you also make us worthy of that, and you do not deprive us. Oh Allah, you do not make us of the wretched ones. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us our mistakes and our wrongs and our evils. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us, you forgive us. Oh Allah, we ask that you protect us from the degradation of this world and the hereafter. Oh Allah, we ask that you help us from the humiliation of this world and the hereafter, especially in our standing in front of you, our standing in front of you, our standing in front of you. Oh Allah, make that time when we see you the best moment of our life. Oh Allah, not the worst moment of our life. Oh Allah, we ask that you make our meeting with you the best moment of our life. And finally, we ask that you send your abundant blessings on our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The abundant blessings, abundant blessings. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.